For those of you who were here last week, we talked a little bit about the history of Revelation, about who wrote it and the different schools of thought about its interpretation. And I'm not going to review that. Suffice to say, there are different schools of thought about the interpretation of this book. And preaching it is really so much fun because it is just rich with opportunities. In my prayers in this last week, and in my research about this time period, somewhere between 50 and 100 after the death of Christ, was when Revelation was written down. And it is very instructive. It is very illuminating to have a grasp on exactly what was happening during that time period. You know, we like to talk about the church in its infancy and all of the things that it did to survive, the different struggles that the various branches of the small church had to endure, the wonderful miracles that strengthened them, the great support that they had. But the thing that is not quite so popularly understood was what was happening in that whole part of the world. The whole Roman Republic, that entire zone, was full of a profoundly different set of circumstances than we could possibly imagine in our modern life. Of course, there was normal day-to-day existence for normal folks like you and me, human beings, right? With families and businesses and, you know, celebrations of people's birthdays and things just like we might recognize. But at the same time, you have to be aware that instead of driving down the road or walking down the road, as it would be for them, and seeing a Methodist church, a Baptist church, the synagogue, and maybe the Seventh-day Adventist church, and, you know, perhaps, a mosque, they had temple after temple after temple after temple in the cities to pagan gods. And many of them were dedicated to lots of rituals and lots of beautiful traditions that had a lot to do with scaring people. There was great store put by the power of blood sacrifice, and there was, to that end, a huge industry in killing birds and small animals to please the gods. There was great store and lots of belief in fire and in burning the bodies of those animals, and there was lots of smoke. There was lots of money, lots of bribery, lots of bad ethics going on. There was lots of power plays. There was lots of politics. There were lots of palms being greased. In order to get your business done in these days, you had to be compromised, left and right, ethically speaking. Remember that the spoils of war that were pouring into these cities were in large part not just stolen gold, but stolen human beings. The slave trade was incredible. And slaves of every color and stripe, peoples from all the conquered territories, were being brought into these areas and horribly abused and killed and sold and tortured. People who broke the laws in these territories were dealt with quite without mercy. Depending on your class, you could be directly executed for small infractions. You could have your arms or legs cut off. Maybe you live, maybe you die. It was a world of great pride in torture and cruelty. There were lots of good people who found it repugnant, of course, but your best way around it, to avoid it, was to do whatever it took to stay under the radar. Lots of fearfulness in this world. Lots of blood, lots of filth, lots of war. There was also a remarkable number of natural disasters that happened to the world in the first century. Flooding, earthquakes, fires, lots of fires, devastation of whole populations. It was a world where killing children was frequent. It wasn't liked necessarily, but it happened. Into this world was born Jesus Christ. Into a place that was somewhat protected because of the Jewish negotiations. Oh, it was a tense and wicked place, this world. At the time the Revelation was being written, the Church of Jesus Christ was being persecuted. They were escaping persecution by hiding and by being clever. But the standard lawful response to the Christians was to get rid of them, was to break them up, was to crucify them. The writer of Revelation must have endured tremendous ugliness, must have lived in a world where he was surrounded by evildoers, by people who simply did not appreciate how hideous and dehumanizing was this life that was around them. But this writer did. The people who call themselves Christians banded together because they had faith in the light, in the power of love, that it was in fact the greater power, that it would in fact survive the horribleness of these times. They prayed together, and God sustained that church, did he not? And it did survive, and it did grow. The wisdom that they received, the gifts that they received, were preserved and did blossom forth. And today, you and I enjoy free worship. We do not have to hide. Knowing all of that, hear these words from Revelation. Chapter 21, beginning with verse 5. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. To those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all the liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death, and they will be gone. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And in the spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you see how this is a message of great hope to the people? Not of condemnation for the evil ones necessarily, but that there truly will be justice. There will be life at the end of it all. Verse 1 then, from 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, on either side of the river, is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will shine and be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the realm of God, in the world of heaven, that is a place that is beyond the human tongue, but it is not beyond altogether the human heart and the human imagination. And God will give the eager heart the vision that is required to sustain it. Lydia, from our first reading, was given the gift of eagerness in her heart to hear the scriptures. And in the end, she invited them all home. In Revelation, that is what this is. This is an invitation to the people of God to see and be certain about what is their real home, where they are headed, who is calling them there. Poetry, my friends, poetry seeks to use human language to present a deeper reality that is more important and more real than the words themselves. I included the E.E. Cummings poem at the beginning of our service because I feel like it is a triumphant example of someone who is humanized by God, who is made whole and healed and rejoices in poetry for all that a human can see that is good, that must be from God. Humanized. Brothers and sisters, you and I are called to go forth and spread the good news from this day forward. You and I are called to derive strength and wisdom and understanding from the Holy Scriptures. These Scriptures have been given to you this day that this vision might make you more human, strengthen you to go out, find those who are dehumanized, who are less than human in this world, and to help them. May God give you the strength to do so, the creativity, and the eagerness of heart. To God be the glory. Let us pray.